Number 10. Luke chapter number 10, if you have a Scofield Bible, it's page 1088. Luke chapter number 10, a very familiar passage of Scripture. We're actually going to start reading in verse number 30. And if I've learned anything over all the years of preaching, it's this. On the Sunday that time changes in the spring and everybody loses an hour of sleep, don't get offended if somebody falls asleep. You know how we are? We know, well, nobody goes to bed an hour earlier. They all look at 11 and say, oh no, it's actually 12. I tried to go a little early. I think Brother Norman did. Did you, Dad? So there's three of us. Somebody else might have. And then in the fall, nobody says, they take advantage. So I wish they'd just leave it one way or the other. So we're going to, now I didn't say I was going to preach any shorter. I just said I've learned that. But I'm usually not too long. Luke chapter 10, verse number 30, down through verse number 37. The Bible said, and Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. When he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for letting us be here today. And Lord, I pray that you would help us as we look into the Word of God today, that Lord, it would be a help and a blessing to us. I pray, Lord, that we could not only see and hear with our eyes and our ears, but God, it would get down into our hearts, the message that we look at today. For many of us, it's very familiar. We've heard about the Good Samaritan since we were little children going to Sunday school. So Lord, I pray that you'd take what's familiar, and I pray, Lord, that it be new and fresh unto us, and we could see it, Lord, like you'd have us to today. I pray that you'd speak to each of our hearts. Help us to get out of it what you'd have for us to. Help us to take it and apply it to our lives. I pray, Lord, that you'd take the Word of God today and use it to change us to be more like you. And Lord, we are thankful for the Word of God and what it does in our hearts. Help us now as only you can, and I pray that you'd give liberty. And I pray that you'd have your way. We have many things we're praying about that's been mentioned this morning. Lord, you heard every request, and you know every heart. So I pray you'd help us. We ask it all in Jesus' name, and amen. Now there's some background to these verses, and I want us to go back actually to verse number 25, because if you notice down in verse number 26, the Bible said, which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? So the Lord Jesus, he's talking to somebody when he's telling about the Samaritan. And so if we go back to verse number 25, we'll begin there and we'll just read down through verse number 29. We have the background for what we have read already in verses 30 through 37. In verse 25, the Bible said, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up. Now, that's not a lawyer like we think about, a lawyer that goes to court, but it was a man that his whole dealings was in interpreting the law of Moses. He was a specialist in the Old Testament. He was a Jew
probably a scribe, and that is what he was an expert in, was interpreting the law. Well, what does this mean, and what does this mean? So that's the kind of lawyer that we're talking about. And the Bible said a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him. They were always trying to trap Jesus Christ in his words. Tempted him, saying, "Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And he said unto him, "What is written in the law, how readest thou?" He responded to a question with a question. You're a lawyer, you're an expert in the law. What do you think about it? This man knew the Old Testament law, so the Lord put it back on him. And verse 27, the Bible said, "And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." Now, that is actually two places in the Old Testament. One was Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. And the other was Leviticus chapter 19 and verse number 18. And there's two parts to this. And in Matthew chapter number 22, Jesus said that the first part was the greatest commandment, and the second was like unto it, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." So the answer the lawyer gave was to love God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul. And the second, love your neighbor as yourself. That was the answer of the lawyer. And in verse 28, the Bible said, "And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live." This do, and thou shalt live. Now, that lawyer should have said, "You know, I've already broken the law. I've not done that all my life." But that's not what he did. He's like the rest of us. And he's a true lawyer at heart. Look at verse 29. "But he, willing to justify himself." That's how we are. That's human nature. He wanted the technicalities of it. Now, exactly what does that mean? Who is my neighbor? "He, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor?" And so that is what leads into the story or the passage of the Good Samaritan. We've heard the Good Samaritan story. I remember learning about the Good Samaritan when I was a little kid going to Sunday school. But there's the background to it. The man wanted to know, what can I do to inherit eternal life? And then he gave the answer, love God, love your neighbor. "But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor?" Now the answer that the Lord gave him was designed to show this lawyer that the law cannot save. The keeping of the law cannot save. The observing of the Jewish rituals and the ceremonies and the sacrifices and all those things, there's no salvation in that whatsoever. And we find here in this passage of Scripture that we have the law and the grace of God contrasted. They're not the same. They're two different things. John chapter 1 verse 17, Jesus said, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." So we have the two contrasted here together in what is called the parable of the Good Samaritan. I just want to point out four or five things about the Good Samaritan. Number one, there's the condescension of the Good Samaritan. Now that means the going down, the going down to. But first of all, we're going to notice all these men, these first four men that are mentioned beginning in verse number 30. Let's read there one more time. "And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was." There's four men that are mentioned here in these verses. First of all, in verse number 30, there's the certain man that the Lord Jesus is talking about. A certain man came down. And this man, in this passage of Scripture, he is a picture of humanity at large. He is a picture of Adam's fallen race. He's a picture of every man. And we look at the things that happened unto him. It said he was a certain man and he went down. Do you know, if you just begin to read in the Bible, everything is good and everything is perfect for two chapters. And then you come to the third chapter, and from there on, it fell all to pieces. I mean, in the first two chapters, everything that God made and everything that God did, behold, it was good, it was good, it was good. But in chapter number 3, it all got turned upside down. What happened there? Adam and Eve, Adam's fallen race. Sin entered into the world, and man has been going down, down, down ever since. And so we find here a picture of fallen man who's been going down. The Bible said that he went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Jerusalem in the Bible is the city of God. It's where the temple was. It's where the presence of the Lord was. And Jericho in the Bible is the city that was cursed by God in Joshua chapter number 6. But in those days, there was what was called the Jericho Road. You ever heard a song that talked about the Jericho Road? And we used to sing a little song about that when we were kids. But there was a literal Jericho Road, and it was called Adumim. And the word means blood or death. And the Jericho Road was a treacherous. You think going across George's Gap is bad? This is worse. It dropped about, from what I've studied, it dropped in elevation from 3,300 feet down to below sea level, 3,300 feet, over 17 miles, and it was just a rocky pass, and the thieves and the robbers, that was their favorite place to hide out because people had to use that road, and it was very dangerous, but you were literally taking your life in your own hands if you went from Jerusalem to Jericho. And what happened to this man, it happened to many others. He was robbed along the way on the road where many, many others had been robbed and killed and died. And the name, it meant blood because so many people were robbed and killed on this road. It was a road of death, which is the road that all of mankind is on, apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 5 verse 12 says, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." We're all on that road. Adam brought it in, and everybody else, all of his race after him, all the people infected with that same sin that Adam fell by and became a sinner, and so all the rest of humanity are sinners as well. The Bible said he went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. He's going down, he's going away from Jerusalem. The Bible said, and he fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment. We see several things happen to him here. He fell among thieves. He's stripped of his raiment. They wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. He's been robbed. He's now naked. He's wounded. He's been abandoned, half dead. Has a person half dead? I've looked at that. I've preached on this before. I don't think I've ever preached on it here. Maybe I have in years gone by, but how is somebody half dead? I don't know, but he's in bad shape. He's in bad shape as he's laying there beside the road, and I'm sure that he looked like a dead man laying there. He is a picture of fallen mankind. But look in the passage of Scripture, here comes some help. You'd think Look what the Bible says in the next verse, verse number 31. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. Now he's a Jewish priest. That's what he is. Came a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Now this priest, he is a type. He is a representative of the law of Moses. That's what the priest dealt with. His job as a priest was prescribed in the law of Moses. That's what he is. Somebody said that when he saw he had already been robbed, he just passed on by. There was nothing for him to get. That's looking pretty bad on the priest there, but he just passed by. Now, he's a picture of the law. The next verse, I'm going to put the Levite in there because it said, and likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. The Levite is a type of religion, ceremony, formalism. The Levites, that whole tribe, their only priority in life was the service of the tabernacle. Going through all the religious motions that there was, and from the Levites came the upkeep of the tabernacle and the temple. So what we have here, we have a picture of religion and ceremony and the law, and the law and religion can pass by and tell you what to do. And the law can come pass by and tell you what's going to happen to you if you break the law. But the law and religion cannot save a person. There's no salvation in the keeping of the Ten Commandments. There's no salvation in being religious. And I talked about this the other night when I talked to the Collegians for Christ on Tuesday night about there's a difference between being religious and salvation. Religion is man trying to reach up to God. Salvation is God reaching down to man. You can be religious. You can be a priest. You can be a Levite. You can be all kinds of religious things and still die and miss heaven. The law does not save. Moses could come by and have the Ten Commandments in his hand, and he could look over at that poor fellow, but there's not one thing that law could do for that man except condemn him and pass on by. It's not talking bad about the priest. It's not talking bad about the Levite. It's showing us that the law, the keeping of the law, and religion cannot save. Nobody is saved by doing this and doing that and being baptized and joining the church and all of these religious things that we think about. The law can come by and judge you. The law can condemn you, but the law cannot save. Now, the law's not bad. The law's good. Paul said that the law was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. It teaches us that we're lost, and it teaches us that we need a Savior. That's what the law does, but the law cannot save. We're studying in Galatians, and Galatians chapter number 2 and verse number 16, Paul said, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. The law does not save us. It's the Lord Jesus Christ that saves. The Levite and ceremony and all those things, they're powerless to save. We find the certain man, we find the priest, we find the Levite, but then we find the Samaritan, and look what he does in verse 33. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. Talking about the condescension of the Good Samaritan. He came where he was. Now, the Jews and the Samaritans in Jesus' day, they did not get along with each other. In fact, they hated each other. The Jews were proud of their Jewishness, that they were full-blooded Jews. The Samaritans were only half Jewish. They were half Jewish and they were half Gentile. And it goes all the way back to the book of Nehemiah and the book of Esther and Ezra. And all those years they had ought. They were enemies. They hated each other. They both worshiped the same God though. But they were different in their skin and in their fathers. And so because of that, even though they both claimed to worship the same God, they hated each other. And so this lawyer is really going to prick up his ears and pay attention when he finds that Jesus is telling a story about a Samaritan coming by, because that's the enemy. Well, this lawyer, he would say, man, we hate the Samaritans. We've got something against them. But here we find that it's the Samaritan that as he journeyed came where he was. Do you know the Jews also despise the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, the good Samaritan in this passage of Scripture is pointing to Jesus. He's the good Samaritan. He's the one that came where we were, even though we hated him. He came where he was. The Jews wanted to seek out and destroy the Lord Jesus. They despised him. They despised him and called him the Nazarene. That was a throwing off on him. So Jesus is telling this, it's called the parable. But he's telling it to get this man to see who he was. The good Samaritan, the priest, and the Levite, they were Jews. They should have stopped to help a fellow Jew. Especially in the position that they were in, a priest of all people. Wouldn't you think the priest would stop and help a man? Wouldn't you think the Levite would stop and help a man? This Samaritan could have passed on by. He could have looked in the ditch and said, I can tell that man's a Jew. He's my enemy. I'll pass on by. I'm not obligated to stop and help him. If I stop and help him, he may rise up and kill me tomorrow. Why should I stop and help him? But that Samaritan stopped and helped this certain man. John chapter number 1 tells us about the Lord Jesus Christ coming to this earth and how that he was God manifested in the flesh. And the Bible says in John chapter 1 that he came unto his own and his own received him not. Jesus said in Luke chapter 19 in verse number 10, he said, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. The Lord Jesus didn't come to this earth to see who he could pass by and leave laying in the ditch. He came to this earth to seek out those that needed his help along the way. Fallen mankind is who that's a picture of. And so we find the condescension or the coming down of the Good Samaritan. Secondly, we find the compassion of the Good Samaritan. Look at verse number 33. Not only he came where he was, but it said, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. We ought to underline that in your Bible. That's something we need. In our midst is to have compassion on others. When he saw him, he had compassion on him. Now, if you noticed in these verse 31, verse number 32, it's not that the priest and the Levite didn't see the man. They saw him, but they passed by on the other side. The Lord Jesus saw him and had compassion upon him. He came near this man. He did something for this man. The word compassion is actually a two-part word. The word come and the word passion. It's an action word. Compassion will stir us into action, into doing something. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, the Bible said, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. I had a message I used to preach years ago about compassion. And the first time the word compassion is mentioned in the Bible is in the book of Exodus. Pharaoh's daughter went down to the river, and there's a little baby floating there in the river, and she had compassion on that baby, and she drew him out. That was Moses. First time you find the word in the Bible, it's a Gentile having compassion for a Jew. And it stirred her to action, that baby crying and its helplessness. And she had to do something, and she rescued Moses and drew him out of the water there. That's compassion. Compassion will make you do something. Compassion is not just emotion. Now, a lot of times we get the two mixed up, and we think if we're emotional that makes us compassionate, but that's not so. Kim and Chloe, last week when it was snowing one day, came in the afternoon and they were watching Little House on the Prairie. I sat down a few minutes and I watched Little House on the Prairie with them. And before it was over, my allergies was acting up. You know how that is? They said, "Are you crying?" I said, "No." And I told Kim, I said, "When I was little, they used to sit around and watch Little House on the Prairie, and I didn't like it then, and I don't like it now. It just tears me up." I was upset. Mary was losing her sight, and the teacher's being mean to her, and man, that kills me. I hate that. That's emotional. But I didn't do nothing about it. Compassion is doing something about something. Last winter, I was coming home from town, and just up the road from our house, the traffic got real slow, and it's a bad place through there for people to have wrecks. And I could see the blue lights, and the traffic was stopped, some of it. And I thought, man, somebody's run off off that embankment down into that creek. That's bad. And as I got closer, I seen that it wasn't a traffic accident, but I saw that there was a lady out there beside the road, and the sheriff was there and his lights and everything, but that lady was down in the ditch, and she had a deer up in her lap, and that deer was alive. And somebody come along and hit that deer, and that lady had come along, stopped her car, got out. Now, that's not the best thing for that deer. That probably caused more stress on that deer than probably made it worse. But I could tell that deputy was trying to get that lady away from that deer. And by the time I got to my house and I got out of my vehicle, I heard two shots. And I knew what happened. That deputy had to put that deer down. But at first, I thought to myself, that lady was foolish. I thought to myself, that lady has been watching too much Disney. She don't understand animals, and that was actually... But I've got to say this about that lady. She sure had compassion. Has compassion that made her put herself in danger. I mean, that's a wild animal. That animal could have hurt her bad. She had compassion. And I thought to myself, actually, I believe the Lord put it on my heart. I thought she has more compassion for an animal than a lot of people have for somebody dying and going to hell. That's compassion. Compassion is putting yourself into a situation where you're needed, where it might be awkward for somebody, but it makes you do something. That's what compassion does. Being emotional just makes you cry. And you know, people go to the movies and all, and they get emotional all the time and watch shows, but that doesn't mean they have compassion. The Good Samaritan had compassion. He didn't pass by and say, "Poor fella." He got down in the ditch and done something about this man that was laying there half dead. The compassion of the good Samaritan. I thought to myself, are we passing by and saying, "Poor fella," or are we going to get down in the ditch and help somebody? The compassion of the good Samaritan. Number three, there's the care of the good Samaritan. There's several things. Verse 34, the Bible says, and went to him. He didn't pass by and say, "Hey, buddy, when you get out of that ditch, we'd sure like for you to come to church." Isn't that how we are sometimes? There they are. Well, if you ever get in the shape, won't you come on down like we're going to open the doors and here they're going to come? No, sir. He had to go to him. The Bible says he went to him. The Lord nowhere says, "Get better and come to me." The Lord says, "Come to me and I'll make you better." Better than that, the Lord says, "I'll come where you are and I'll help you when you're helpless. And I'll do something for you." That's what the Lord does. I think sometimes in church we've got it all wrong. We don't say, "Get better and come in here." No, sir. Brother Raymond said many times the church ought to be like an emergency room. It's where people come to get help, not come to get judged. Not come to be condemned, but come to get some help in their lives. And so the Lord, the Bible says, he went to him and bound up his wounds. This is a picture of fallen man. Do you know we're all scarred? Do you know we're all damaged goods? Everybody. Nobody comes to the Lord as a perfect specimen of mankind without spot and without blemish. We all come scarred and damaged. And we've got baggage and we've got problems and we've got sins and we've got depression and we've got failures and we've got mistakes and we've got all those things. Kim said she's working out at the consignment, children's consignment. She said somebody brought in a whole pallet load of toys. And come to find out somebody had bought a pallet of toys that had been rejected at Walmart. They had where people had brought stuff back. That's how we are. You only bring stuff back that's broke, tore up, nobody wants. But let me tell you, there's somebody that's an expert. I'm talking about lives now. I'm talking about our lives. There's somebody that I know that's an expert in damaged goods. And it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. And although we all come with problems and all of these things, he can do something with it. He can do something with you. He can take that which the world has cast aside and he can make something great out of it. The Bible says he bound up his wounds. Luke chapter 4, if you look back just a couple of pages there, about four pages. Luke chapter 4, the beginning of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he comes upon the scene and he goes into the synagogue and he stands up and he reads out of Isaiah chapter 61. That's what's going on in Luke chapter 4. Verse number 18, he reads from the place where it was written. That's the last part of verse 17. Verse 18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." He was reading a prophecy about his own ministry. He came to bind up the brokenhearted, to make the blind where they'd be able to see again. He had power. He's got power to do what you and I are unable to do. He bound up his wounds. You go back in Luke chapter 10. And the verse goes on and it says, not only he bound up his wounds, but it also says in verse number 34, pouring in oil and wine. That is a picture in the Bible of the ministry of the Spirit of God and the Word of God that works in our heart and helps us and points us in the right direction. The Spirit of God and the Word of God. He was able to do for this man what he needed done. I started reading a book yesterday. And it's a book, it's called The Search. And it's about a Jewish lady, her name was Lorna Simcox. And she grew up Jewish, she didn't know anything about Jesus. She was taught that was just a bad word in her house. But she comes to know Christ as her Savior. And shortly after that, her husband died. And she talked in that book how her whole world fell apart. And she's just laying on the bed crying. She's got a little girl about 13 months old, something like that. I mean, her whole world's falling all to pieces. And she said, I had to get back to reading my Bible. And she turned over to, I believe it was Psalms 116. And it started out in verse number 1. It said, I will love the Lord because. And it goes on down and it talks about, though the sorrows of death come past me about. She talked about how the Word of God began to minister to her heart and give her hope again. And although she was depressed and so down, how that the Word of God brought her back and how that life began to get normal again and how she could go on. And boy, what a blessing it was as I sat there and read about her story. But the Lord poured in oil and wine. Then the Bible says that He set him on his own beast. The Good Samaritan, he gave up his seat. He put him in his place. He left his area of comfort. He spent his time for someone who the day before was his enemy. Put him on his own beast. John 3:16 said, For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Verse 17 says, For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Jesus didn't come to condemn, He came to save. He didn't come to make people feel bad. People say, all right, going to church makes me feel bad. What makes me feel good? When I realize what the Lord has done for me, how He saved me from how I was and made a new creature and set me in His place and He loves sinners, and we learn all these things. The Son of Man come to seek and to save that which was lost. And look on down in verse 34. There's a lot of things in this verse. And brought him to an end and took care of him. That's a picture of the grace of God. The grace of God does for you what you cannot do for yourself. You cannot save yourself. This man, no doubt, had he been left there, would have died in that condition. He was already half dead. Half dead to me is pretty close to being all the way dead. How long can you lay there? But the Lord came by and rescued him and began to take care of him. That's the grace of God. He helped him when he was helpless, when he was unconscious and didn't even know what was going on. The Lord was there. Have you ever been there in your life? And you look back and you say, you know, the Lord took care of me. I didn't even know that was Him. I've heard people testify about being lost, being in car wrecks, about being away from God, about having a close call with death. And they look back and they say, you know, the Lord kept me. The Lord kept me. The Lord was with me. I didn't realize it then, but I realize it now. That was the Lord. That was the Lord. The Lord took him to an end. The Lord took care of him, the Bible says. He took him as His own personal responsibility. See, when the Lord saves us, we become His children. He becomes our Father. We become His responsibility. And He takes care of us. The care of the Good Samaritan. Then I want to look in verse number 35. There's the coming again of the Good Samaritan. Have you ever noticed what it says in verse 35? And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host. And said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Does that sound familiar? You take care of him, and when I come again. See, when I thought about this, I thought that I remembered it, that the Good Samaritan just took him to the inn and left him and paid to get him better. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says he took him to the inn and he took care of him and he took out some money and he paid the innkeeper and told him to take care of him. And then he said, when I come again, I'll repay you. That Good Samaritan didn't just take him and drop him off. He took him and put him there. He fully intended to come back the whole time. He wanted to make sure that this man was taken care of while he was gone. Jesus told the disciples, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. I got to studying about this. Do you know, the Bible says he took out 2 pence. We would say 2 pennies. But in Bible days, that was 2 days' wages. He paid him for 2 days. Do you know, the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 18, that 1,000 years with the Lord is as a day, and a day is as 1,000 years. Do you know how long the Lord's been gone now according to God's calendar? About 2 days. That Good Samaritan said, I'm going to be gone 2 days. I'm going to pay you for them 2 days, and then I'm coming back. You look in the world, you look in the Word of God, you look at events going on in the world. You believe the Lord's going to come again? I believe the Lord's coming again. I'd never noticed that before. I'd never seen that before. But he said, about 2 days and I'm coming back. And it's been 2 days since the Lord. It's been about 2,000 years, give or take a few years, since the Lord has gone away. But he fully intended to come back all the time. And he's coming back for us. One last thing I'll show you and I'll be done. There's the command of the Good Samaritan. Now, he was talking to the lawyer, and the lawyer wanted to know what to do to inherit eternal life. And so the Lord, he shared this story about the Samaritan with the Jewish lawyer. In verse 36, he said, which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Now, to a strict Jew in Jesus' day, they would not recognize anybody as a neighbor except another Jewish person. But this made this man acknowledge that it was that Samaritan that showed mercy unto him. And then, the Bible said, then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. Do you know what was getting in the way of this man having faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? It was his religion. His religion allowed him, on one hand, to say, I am serving God and living for God and doing the will of God. But on the other hand, his religion allowed him to hate somebody. You know, a lot of times what's in the way is a heart. That was something down in his heart that had to be taken care of. So that's what the Lord said to him, go and do thou likewise. And the Lord didn't say to him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's not going to do you any good if your heart's full of hate. He said, you need to take care of this. You need to go and do thou likewise. His religion was getting in the way of his coming to the Lord Jesus. And then I thought, what does that mean to me? Go and do thou likewise. I wrote in my Bible, that means to me, I'm talking about to me. What do I apply and take away? That I'm to go and immerse my life in the life of others. The life of others. Not just be emotional. Well, I hate that for them, but to be driven by compassion and moved and stirred to action on behalf of others. So we look at the good Samaritan here. And boy, what a command we find there in verse 37. Go and do thou likewise. Has your compassion this morning on a scale of 1 to 10? I think sometimes our compassion's pretty low on the scale. But if we'd be like the Lord, we'd have way more compassion. If you're here today and you're lost, there's one that cares us, cares for us, loves us, wants to come where we are and do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. There's a lot of applications in the story of the Good Samaritan. I'd like for us to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed.